You really don't have to look too far to find examples of discrimination and hate crimes against LGBTQ persons here in Michigan or across the nation. One recent example was Justin Alesna, attacked in a convenience store by 26-year-old Detroiter Everett Dwayne Avery. He ordered Alesna not to stand too close to him in line, then made a gay slur, and a few moments later punched Alesna in the face, fracturing his eye socket. Avery was sentenced to 18 months in prison after pleading guilty to violating the Federal Hate Crimes Protection Act. The National Coalition of Anti-Violence Programs is a group that works to prevent and end violence against and within the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and HIV-affected communities. The face of that group here in Michigan is Equality Michigan, and they're out with a report on anti-LGBTQ and HIV-affected hate violence. Joining us from Equality Michigan is Yvonne Seiford. She's the Director of Victim Services. Talk to us, Yvonne, about what the recent report tells us about these trends in Michigan.
Well, biggest trend that we see in Michigan at Equality Michigan actually reflects the national trend in terms of anti-LGBTQ violence. And that is that transgender people and transgender women of color specifically are the most at risk and the most disproportionately affected by hate violence.
Why is that?
That's a very hard question to answer. There's such a small population of transgender people, and it's very difficult, particularly here in Michigan, where one can be fired for being gay or perceived to be gay or transgender or just gender variant. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times, transgender women of color particularly are forced to do survival work out on the streets, which all automatically puts them at an increased risk for violence. That is one attributing factor. I just think that people are afraid of what they don't understand and what they don't know.
Now, we started, Yvonne, by outlining just one case of violence that was aimed at a gay man in Michigan. Can you give us a sense of other ways LGBTQ individuals or HIV-positive individuals have been victims of hate or discrimination? What does it look like?
Basically, you know, it varies from the very kind of covert, you know, little things that people will say under their breath, or, you know, as they're going by somebody not directly confronting the individual, all the way up to just absolute brutality, as we saw in the Justin Alesna case.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it really does run the gamut. I mean, most of what we see at Equality Michigan has to do with discrimination in the workplace and landlord discrimination because, again, it's perfectly legal for a landlord to refuse housing to someone who is LGBT. So we really do see the gamut.
With the new report, I'm wondering, Yvonne, how does Michigan compare with the other states?
That's a good question, and it's kind of hard to answer because with the NCAVP, it's a volunteer organization, and there are limitations in the data that we have because there are only 18 states reporting to the NCAVP.
I see.
So, you know, in that sense, it's difficult to say. What I can say is that the trends are increasing across the country as well as in Michigan.
Why is
that? In terms of numbers. You know, the more strides we make as the LGBT communities in terms of equality recognition, that fuels the fear and fire of the opposition. Hmm. So in a sense, the violence and the discrimination that we're seeing is a direct repercussion of the fact that we are actually making strides towards equality.
What do you feel, speaking on behalf of your work with Equality Michigan, and there you are as Director of Victim Services, how do you feel policymakers could make an impact not only in reducing violence but also supporting survivors of violence?
Well, one thing that our legislators in the House and Senate of the U.S. can do is sign on to a Representative Costa's letter to help increase VOCA funding for VOCA-funded agencies. And VOCA is the Victims of Crime Act, mm-hmm. which has a fund for survivors of violence. And that fund has not been increased in recent years. And so that's one thing that our lawmakers can do is to sign on to that and pledge to help the actual victims of crime and not just say it in their political rhetoric. And another thing that our local legislators can do is to, well, they can stop pandering and using religious conscientious objector bills to prevent a true Christian spirit in helping one's neighbor.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, some of the bills, for example, the health care reform bill here in Michigan, where they're trying to make it legal for hospital workers, doctors and nurses, to not help a patient because they object to the patient's lifestyle.
Yvonne Seifert is Director of Victim Services with Equality Michigan, talking about the latest report on anti-violence programs from the National Coalition of Anti-Violence Programs. Yvonne, it was a pleasure talking with you today, and we hope we speak with you again soon.
It was a real pleasure to talk to you, Cindy. Thank you so much.